violence was recorded on the 4th of October 1962, Citta Road, Crete, medium lesbian friends.
Is Dr. Marshall there?
Yes, everyone's here. Do you want to speak to Marshall particularly then?
No, darling, I just wondered if he was there.
Yes.
I mean, many of us are here.
Who, Doctor?
You know, when we had these sessions,
yes.
As I think I've told you many times, that yes. Many people who gather, some who are very much to the fore, others who work quietly and magnificently in the background.
I know, Donald Hutchinson.
Well, he's one of the group, one of many who help us.
Yes.
But tonight, I don't want to take up too much time because I know that there's a great deal that is yet to be said
yes.
by our friend, and I'm sure that if you want to ask him questions, as far as it's in his power to answer them, he will. Don't be afraid to ask him questions.
No, I don't want to just listen.
If you find it will be interesting, the response and the answers.
Yes.
I'll go now.
All right.
If I don't have an opportunity to come back, don't think I've forgotten you or updated you. I'm still continuing every day to be healing and in contact with other souls who are also doing their part as well. We're all doing our best for them.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad to see you so much recovered.
Yes.
All my love and blessings, my dear.
God bless you. To you.
Bless you, my child.
Hello, Lucius.
It is I, Lucius.
Yes.
I understand, child.
Yes.
From our friend, the doctor, there may be some questions that you have particularly on your mind that you wish to put to me. I do not propose that I should be able to answer all.
No, but I would like to you to continue, and perhaps later on I might ask a question or two, because I don't want to disturb your thoughts.
So I tried very much in the past to give you some general outline of our links together and your own particular incarnations in particular. I want, if I can, to fill in, as I go along here and there, these various incarnations with more detail. And if I sometimes drift from one incarnation to another, it is for a very good reason, until such time as I'm able to have more opportunity to fill in certain incarnations that at the moment I may not be able to through lack of remembrance or lack of detail. I have to search and I have to make effort to find out many things which appertain particularly to you, possibly including incarnations in which I played no part myself.
Yes.
And I have to go to various sources and various individuals, some who come along here, as a matter of fact, who prompt me as I'm speaking to you.
Oh, yes.
Sometimes, in a sense, I'm only the mouthpiece, and others who have a greater knowledge of your own particular incarnations, and they inform me what to tell you, and I repeat it. Of course, when it comes to incarnations in which I myself are associated, it is easier for me, because I can draw on my own knowledge and my own experience. There are times when I'm dependent entirely upon the remembrances and thoughts of others who are associated with you in past lives.
I have a feeling that I'm associated with you in a good many incarnations.
Yes, you have been associated with me in quite a number of different incarnations. There are several that I have not even mentioned. Touched upon, but that is partly due to the fact that I wanted to give you a little more detail about certain incarnations I've already mentioned, particularly the Roman and Pompeian one, which was a very important one.
Yes.
But of course there are other incarnations in which you were a member of the Jewish tribe.
Yes.
And you were captured with your parents and subjected to the power of Egypt. This was a much later incarnation than the previous Egyptian incarnation, in which you were of the royal house and in which you were given to the church, as it were, or to the temple.
Yes.
In this other incarnation, you were one of many of the Jewish religion and faith and nationality who became slaves, and you were subjected to a great deal of unhappiness because of this. But in that incarnation you suffered a great deal, and I think you learned a great deal in consequence. At the same time, I do not feel that any great benefit would accrue by my going into any real detail in this incarnation. You see, in these different incarnations, we are often transferred from one set of circumstances and position to an entirely different one. It's often very necessary. Indeed, sometimes it's more than necessary, it's essential. But you have been, in many senses, fortunate, inasmuch that you have often had lives of, well, what I suppose you would say, of substance in regard to material things. But of course one does not necessarily learn more, or benefit more, from being a possessor of material wealth and material position. Often it is a burden.
Yes.
Often it is a great responsibility. And often great unhappiness comes from it rather than happiness. But you have, in various incarnations, held high position, either by birth or by influence or development of certain circumstances materially by which you benefited. And of course, as I've told you, you have always been in the female sex.
Yes.
I've always been most attracted to the animal kingdom.
To the what?
Animal
kingdom. Oh, yes.
And there was a period when you were very fortunate, inasmuch that you were the possessor of many animals. In fact, there was this period when your people,
yes,
because of their interest themselves in animals and their position in material affairs, were able to form their own private zoo.
Yes.
And you were particularly attached to the animals and played a great part in their upbringing. As a matter of fact, centuries ago, your father, at that age and time, was a man who was taken to many parts of the world, the known world, and brought back many animals which were foreign to his own country, and they were kept in quite large numbers, as a matter of fact, on the grounds of his house.
Yeah, yes.
He was very attached to those of the elephants, for which you had two in one of this particular incarnation. But there were several monkeys, and there was a bear, quite a number of dogs, there's parrots, there's birds, and it was a great joy to you to be associated with these animals and horses. And in fact, you yourself were very much a horsewoman, you were very fond of riding, and indeed, you rode a great deal with your father, and indeed you went into the hunt, and in that age of time, hunting was was a very important part of the nobleman's life. But you were never very happy about hunting. But you did it because it was one of the things that one was expected to do. And you went with your father, but you were a very highly sensitive youth. And you were not happy about it. As a matter of fact, in that age you were most artistic. And you were very musical too. And you designed a great deal. And many of the hangings and the tapestries and other pictures were executed either directly by you or indirectly from your designs. I'm talking now, of course, in the 16th century.
Oh, yes.
I'm talking about a period in France.
Oh, yes.
When you were a very noble family called Valois.
Valois.
And,
yes.
You were in your own position, very comfortably off, and you yourself married a woman of great wealth and great position, and you married a woman. You were in this incarnation a youth, a man.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Your name was Louis.
Louis.
Oh, Louis. One of many names which you bore, but you were invariably known by that name of Louis.
Oh, yes.
Louis de Valois. And you married a woman whose name was Henrietta.
Henrietta?
Henrietta.
Oh, yes.
And she was a very sweet, charming woman, young woman, because you were married when you were 16. It's a common thing for families to arrange marriages even almost after the child was born. And you were married in great pomp and ceremony, and you were married in Paris. I don't know how much detail of this I can give you or how much you can check up as you tell it, but I should imagine records would exist because this is a period of time which is not so far remote, and also the family name which you bore, Valois, was a very important one.
Oh yes, I try and discover that.
Quite a number of tapestries that you drew the designs for were made and hung, and I should imagine many of those still exist. There was a very fine portrait of yourself too, as a young man, when you were about 18 or 19, and I'm told that that particular portrait is still in existence. It is in the Louvre, in Paris.
Oh, yes. In the Louvre?
Yes. Oh. You had a brother called Henri, who died very young, which made you the sole heir to the estates of the family. On the death of your father. Your father was a very high-ranking noble in the court, and you were often seen at court, and indeed, you were more than often out hunting with the king and his entourage. In fact, you were very much linked with society, such as it was at that time, which was a very limited group of people. When I say limited, the king himself was surrounded by noblemen, but there was a great dearth of people who were allowed in the presence of the king, very few, only a limited number. You were also associated with various other countries at this time. And you traveled, you went to Holland, came to England, you visited Germany, and actually while in Germany, you met a woman whom you were most attracted to, and actually you had a love affair, of course at the time and age which has been a common thing, one would be married by a family arrangement. One would have great regard and respect for one's wife, and one's wife would bear one's children.
Yes.
But it's not an uncommon thing for a man to have a mistress. And you had this link of friendship for me, and it was a very close attachment. But there were circumstances which developed which prevented you from continuing it. As a matter of fact, the woman in question died in childbirth, and you were the father of her child. And this had a very great effect on you, and to a great extent afterwards, and by this time, Ushi were reaching in the 50s, in your 40s when this first commenced, and you withdrew from the public, from the court, from the public eye, and retired to your estates, and you lived to be quite an elderly man, and you died there on your estates, and your wife, who preceded you in that incarnation, that woman who was your wife,
yes,
was, who do you think?
Who?
I said, who do you think?
I have no idea.
Was your late husband?
No. Good gracious.
And there again, you see, we come to these strange things that, in a sense, repeat.
Yes.
You were, in that age, a victim, in a sense, of circumstances beyond your control. You had to fall in with the things that were common to the day, and you were married off to a woman who, though she had a great regard and respect for you, did not love you. Although the marriage, as marriages went, under such circumstances, was quite a success, but there was no great deep feeling of love or deep emotional, passionate.
No.
It was one of those things which developed into more of a deep friendship.
Yes.
And it's an interesting thing to me, as I see back into your lives, into these associations and the links that were formed, that this should have been so. But the woman, the woman that you were so interested in,
yes,
in Germany.
What, Annie?
The woman who became so near and so dear to you.
Yes.
Because she was sent for a time to Germany as an ambassador.
Oh,
and
yes.
This is how you met.
Oh, I see. Yes.
Putting the woman in the court there.
Yes.
Her name was Anne.
Anne, yes.
In a previous, later incarnation, now do not be surprised at this.
Yes.
In a later incarnation, you knew her under another name and another guise.
Yes.
And another form and another sex.
Yes.
Chopin.
Good gracious.
Well, I told you.
Isn't this wonderful?
I told you, my dear, many times.
Yes.
Speech in the beginning, a lot of things I've said to you that would sound so fantastic and almost fictional that you wouldn't be able to understand altogether, although I know that you listen with an open mind, and I know that you go over these recordings, as you call them, and you think about them and try to put them together and try to make some sense out of them. You try to come to the truth, but it's very difficult always to understand and accept everything. But you see, when I'm trying to point out to you,
yes,
that the reason why you are drawn, not only, shall we say, to he whom you know best, the strength of Chopin, but also to other people, and sometimes you don't quite know why altogether you are drawn to these other people,
yes,
is because you have been so linked, you have been so tied with them in other incarnations.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, Charles.
What about this Albert, who is in this house?
Well, Albert, Richard Durbin.
Yes.
Had several incarnations. He was once a priest in the temple of Isis and Osiris in ancient Egypt, and he was a very kindly, fatherly soul, and he understood more than anyone else at that time of your deep affection for this other priest, the younger priest, and he tried to help you as best he could. He tried to prevent tragedy. He was a good friend, and he tried to warn you of danger and tried to help you, but he realized the hopelessness of the case, and he realized that there was no more that he could do. You knew him in that age and in that time, in that capacity.
Yes.
And he was a great friend of the priest whom you were so drawn and attached to.
Yes.
His name was Armamedes.
Armamedes.
He was an Egyptian by birth and had been given to the church in his youth and had reached a venerable age in that particular incarnation.
Yes.
And showed great wisdom, great kindness. And he realized that neither you nor the one you loved were
yes.
really suitable to the church or
yes.
to the temple, or what you will. And he understood much more than most how you were attached to each other. And he realized the futility, in a sense, and the responsibility that was placed upon him was great, because he had to be loyal to his temple and to his creed. At the same time, he was the most humane man and wanted to help you, and he tried his utmost to prevent the disaster that overtook you. In that age, therefore, he was associated. He was also associated in a much later incarnation in ancient Rome
yes.
and held a high position at the court, and he was a deity of great ability and great power.
Oh, yes.
But in that particular age, he was not a particularly, shall we say, good person. But then for that time and age, very few people were.
Yes.
Even people with wealth and position. And it was his influence when he was in that particular incarnation which helped to bring about eventually the destruction of the Roman Empire. When I say the destruction of the Roman Empire, although the Roman Empire was not destroyed for a considerable number of years afterwards, it was such persons as this that helped to bring about the downfall, because he was a woman who lived very much to herself and was very inconsiderate in that age for the feelings and emotions of others. And in many respects was very cruel. But of course, you see, as we go through life, and as we unfold and develop, we sometimes make great mistakes. Sometimes, indeed, we even fall back a step or two. And it's necessary to gain more experience, have more opportunities to overcome the worst of self. Sometimes it's really difficult to explain these things fully. But in that age, he was a woman of great power who did not always act wisely.
Yes.
But at the same time, there were moments when there was great kindness shown. And your family knew her well, but were rather afraid of her.
Oh, yes. I see. He is very much attached to Egypt. I know that.
He's had a Roman incarnation and an Egyptian incarnation.
Yes.
And also he lived in England in the time of Elizabeth.
Oh, yes.
And he was, in that age, a woman who also had great position of wealth and power. And indeed, so much so that Elizabeth herself was very much inclined to be jealous of her. Not so much jealous of her power, but jealous of her beauty. But that's another story, a very different one. As a matter of fact, this person whom you refer to as Albert has touched your life on various times and has been associated with you. Sometimes, indeed, has been most helpful to you. And the only bad incarnation, when I say bad, this is the point of view of being very material on earth there, was in this Roman incarnation, which was an incarnation which did great harm, in a sense, to the unfoldment and development of the soul. But of course that was atoned for by other incarnations and changes of nature and character. And that incarnation, I think, is one which possibly registers most with him. I don't suggest that by that he remembers, but at the same time he would be most drawn to it, because it would be an incarnation in which he would have felt great power within himself and a great gleaning and remembrance possibly of certain things past, because it was a strong, vital, and very earthly material incarnation. So it is more than feasible that in this incarnation it is more than likely that he would have some half twilight remembrances of these things. As a matter of fact, it was common for him to go about in great style and to sometimes have two lepers on chains.
Oh, yes.
He was a woman of great vitality, great power, and great influence, and often she influenced the emperor, even against his better judgment,
yes,
to do things which didn't help, as a matter of fact, the emperor's popularity. But one, of course, could go on about this, because it's an interesting incarnation which you are associated, but as I say, you yourself had very little to do with him, although you knew of him in that incarnation as this personality.
Yes.
I think that it was so opposite in so many ways. I mean, it was so different that there was nothing to draw you together. And as you remember, I told you previously,
yes,
that it was dangerous. It was a very dangerous age. Especially dangerous to have new ideas,
yes,
and new theories and new religions. And one had to be most careful what one said and what one did. And one had to sort of on the surface fulfill the things that were expected of one in regard to society and the things that one said. And one had to try as best one could to keep, as it were, a false facade. But as one of the reasons why, of course, you used to quite often, with your brother and with others, sometimes go out of Rome, where you could feel more free, more liberal, more able to think deeply and to converse with people, men of intelligence, and people whose ideas were new. People who were not perhaps so afraid, because the arm of Rome, although it was still powerful in Pompeii, did not seem to have the same effect. You could be much more free.
I see.
It was one very terrible experience, which I think is worth recounting.
Yes.
And I say terrible because it was a terrible experience. And that was when you were at sea, under the great storm.
Yes.
And the ship was wrecked, and many, many people were drowned, and you were saved by a seaman, a man who himself was very much below you in caste and position, but who, in consequence of having saved you, was given a place of great trust and responsibility in your household. This is another incident that I have not mentioned. And he became, I won't use the term slave, because he was not made a slave. In fact, because of his action, he was freed. But he was, in a sense, a devoted slave to you, because he was greatly, greatly drawn to you, greatly loved you. And this happened when you were quite young, very young, in fact. And he saved you. Your brother, by the way, was only just born and was not at that time, of course, on board this ship, you were sailing around the coastline of Italy when this great storm blew up, and as I say, you were saved. And this man who saved you and who became so devoted to you was he whom we called Juan.
Really?
Oh. That also was in the same period of time that I spoke to you about.
Yes.
You mentioned that because you've asked me previously, but only about this boy called Albert, and also about this other young man called Juan.
Yes. I would like to know more about him, please, if you can.
Juan, this person called Juan,
yeah,
also had an incarnation many centuries ago in the time of Philip of Spain, and was one who was in command of a ship that was sent to England to bring England to her knees. It was the time of the Armada, and there was great religious friction, great religious wars, and he was a man of some breeding and background who had been in charge of the ship, and as a matter of fact, the ship itself was sunk, but he and some others escaped and were taken to land on the coast of Ireland, and he had, because of the Catholic influence there, he was greatly helped by a family, Irish family, and he settled there and married and had children. So actually there are descendants of his of Irish connection.
Oh yes.
But in this particular period of Jasmine, I see no record of connection with yourself. He's a man who's always been, I suppose one should say, near the earth.
Yes.
It is true that in this incarnation in which I speak, he was a sailor. And that also links up also the same time, same period with Albert, who was a woman of some position at the time of Elizabeth I. And this woman was of strong Catholic persuasion, but because of the Protestant faith which had been brought into the country by Elizabeth's father, she had to, on the surface, pretend to be a Protestant.
Oh, yes.
But the family had been very hard Catholics, and although there was no linking up between her and the man who knows Juan, there is the same period of time there with them both.
Oh, yes.
You know, it must seem to some people extraordinary that one should have so many incarnations. But the point is that quite often these many incarnations are very necessary. And they're not always necessary, mind you, for the individual's development. Strange as it may seem, they often are, of course, but sometimes they're necessary for the individual to help some other person,
yes,
or some other soul near and dear to them, help them, and by returning to her in the same incarnation, they're able to bring to bear some influence for good on the other person's life.
Yes. Yes, I do know that. I understand that perfectly. Yes.
But, incarnation of this boy Albert.
Yes.
When he was a great courtesan.
Oh yes.
A great personality of power in the Roman time. Is a most interesting one. And particularly would be for him, no doubt, because his interest in that incarnation or that period of time,
yes,
is still, I presume, very strong.
Oh yes, please tell me some more about him. I think he'd be very interesting if you can, Lucius.
This woman had great influence with the court, particularly with the emperor. She was able to twist him, she was there on her finger.
Who is
it? He was a very weak man, of course, it's true. But he was a man also of some perception. And although he was a strange mixture of good and evil, he was a man who, once he determined to do something, would go through it. And in the end, he had her murdered.
Oh.
So her death, in a sense, was a very untimely one, but there was a great sigh of relief among many people when this happened, because she had brought down the downfall of many quite good people. She was a woman who wanted more and more power, was satiated with power, and I'm afraid what you would term a very bad character. But of course, with the coming of the ages and the development of the human soul and the integrity and the spirit, gradually, with many changes, of course, so this incarnation was an extremely bad one from the point of view of Albert. But no doubt he reveled in it, which I'm quite sure he did. He was a man, or a woman, I should say, of great persuasion, great charm, great power. And if she happened to have a knife into you, it was just too bad. One of the reasons why your family, in particular, avoided her like the plague.
I have a great I'm very attracted to him, you know.
Well, of course, a lot has transpired and happened since that time. But the culture had been brought together again under very different circumstances. And of course, now there's a vast difference in makeup and a vast difference in outlook and character. And, as one does through varying incarnations, one speaks as much and one changes accordingly. And he is vastly different. In this incarnation, he is a man of, I would say, perception, a man of great humanity and great feeling, and a man who himself endeavors in a limited way, in the way in which he feels best he may help others, that he's a good soul. And the past has changed, obviously, from 2,000 years or more ago. Indeed, if we were to remain the same, it would be pointless and useless to have incarnations. But he certainly has changed, as indeed we all.
Yes.
You know, there was an incarnation when you yourself were far removed from the sweet person you are today.
I'm not a bit surprised, because look at the incarnations I've had.
Some people, of course, assume that when one returns to the earth and one has many experiences, that you necessarily become a better person. But that may apply, and it does apply, of course, in many instances, in many cases, but sometimes, because of free will, a person may come in an incarnation and be worse than in the last, and it's therefore more essential than ever that you return again. People must not always think that in every incarnation that you necessarily improve. Indeed, because of the freedom that one has in oneself, within one's life, one can go backwards, and then it means that you're going to come again and again until such time as you undo many of the things that you did previously, particularly to individuals. That's why you're brought together to individuals again. That's why it's essential that you should return in a certain incarnation to undo some thing that you may have done in regard to a certain person or persons.
Yes.
You must never always think that incarnations mean that each time you're getting better and better. Of course, one likes to think that, and in many cases one does.
Yes.
But there are times when, unfortunately, because of the freedom that is given and the fact that it is a life in which you are able to set to a great extent at least, form your own character and develop your own individual. whatever it is that you want to develop or become or do, sometimes one goes backwards. One always seems to think, which I do seem to think, those who believe in incarnation, that we necessarily always improve. It's true that eventually you must and you do, but sometimes you step back a bit.
Yes. Well, I've been told that I've got to make amends in this incarnation, my last one.
I don't know why you should think that your last one was such a bad incarnation.
No, this one, I mean.
Your last incarnation was not a bad incarnation. I think in some respects it was a good one. You played a part in which you called upon to do certain things and to do your best. You perhaps did not have the opportunity always to do as much as you would like, but you did what you could. In this incarnation, I think that you, as I think I told you before, you are fulfilling something which you called upon to do, and which would benefit not only yourself, but benefit others whose need is great. In any case, you are doing what you have felt within yourself is the right thing to do. No one's asked you to do anything in particular, as far as I know. I think in any case that you follow your own inclination, and I think your own inclination to do what you are doing and what you have done in the past is so similar to what we wish that there's no argument about it. Your interest, your deep interest in spiritual things, which has taken most of your life, is proof, if proof were needed, that you have unfolded gradually through various incarnations your spiritual self. And this is a natural reaction that you should, in this present incarnation, desire to experience what you can and make good use of it if you possibly can for others. And I think that you are encouraging other people to seek and to find and be most helpful to the instrument. And I know that you do all in your power to propagate this truth and give others the insight into truth that you have. I feel that this life, this present existence, has by no means been a useless one. You may have felt that you've been thwarted in certain directions, but then again, it is not necessarily so, because you've been told by various people that your talents and your natural ability in regard to music and in regard to other things for that matter are very pronounced here, and that when you come here, when your earthly existence and this incarnation is finished, you will find that it will be the simplest and most natural thing for you to achieve and to do the things that seem to have been denied you on earth. It will be an essential reward.
Yes. Yes, I have been told that, Lucilla. Oh.
I can see you now. Not as I described you previously, but I can see you now as a tall, well-made young man with very dark hair, very long, and a face that in itself is pleasant to look upon, and dark eyes. Nose rather pronounced, or chiseled rather features, and round your neck is what appears to be a kind of lace, very fine lace collar, and with a costume which has big sleeves, black and silver material, and your waist, round your waist is fashioned some kind of metallic, that looks to me, belt with a sword hanging. I think this must be the incarnation of which I spoke previously when you were in the French court.
Yes.
It was supposed to be like a court dress. Very elegant. It looks rather like velvet and silver metallic. I don't quite know what it is. And there's a big chain also hanging around the neck. And what appears to be some sort of medallion hanging. You know, at that age, I think that you were a man of great foresight. I think that you had a great power of foreseeing. I don't mean the sense that you were psychic exactly, but I think you were a man of great perception. I think you were a man of great thought, deep thought. I understand that you studied a great deal, and you were even then most interested in various religions and various philosophies, and you read a great deal, and you could read and speak several languages, I've told. So that when you, that's one reason why you were probably chosen as an ambassador.
Ambassador? Oh, I see. That must be in the 16th century.
When you were to Barrowa.
Oh, Barrowa, yes.
To Barrowa.
Yes.
Who is Barrowa?
I'm spying that out. Lucillus. Were you connected with me at that time?
No, not exactly. I can't say I was connected with you, but I knew of you. But I did not know you in the sense of having a close association. I was not in any way linked with you in a material sense.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.